Hello and welcome to VentureCast. I'm David Hornick, Vagus Capital.
And I'm Howard Hartenbaum, also Vagus Capital. And today we have a guest.
A special guest.
And I'm Jeff Clavier of Vagus Capital, from SoftTank VC. Thank you guys for having me.
Jeff, you have we ever had any other guest on VentureCast? I don't know.
I think I'm the honored special guest that has been here two or three times, and I'm the only one because it's such a bad experience for you guys to have someone else that you say, God will never do it again.
Oh, I thought you were going to say it's such a bad experience to work with us that no one would ever come.
No, I think I might be the only sort of VC listening to VentureCast and sending you comments and emails and saying, hey, you guys sort of this or forgot that. And that's what gets me here. But I'm really thrilled to be on the show.
Jeff doesn't know that after he leaves, we're going to edit out all the stuff we want and just make him look like a fool.
Yeah, we're going to, right, exactly.
I don't need your help to do that, dude, I guess.
I got to tell you that editing thing. So I was just... they had this roast of Robert Scoble this week, so mm-hmm. the Startup to Startup. I think both of you have been to Startup to Startup before.
Many times.
So Startup to Startup is, so those of you who don't know, it's this cool event. Basically, it's largely founders of companies getting together. There's a speaker or two who sort of talk about important things that have to do with the entrepreneurial process. And then there's a roundtable discussion at each table where people talk about topics that are relevant to building startups. So
it's a structured conversation where we try to address, you know, a few key questions every time.
And there's a moderator. Like, yep. I assume you're a moderator. Are you
I'm not the moderator. I'm the suit at the table. So I'm the VC at the table. And the issue as a moderator is that you're not supposed to talk all the time, which I do. And so that's why.
So you refuse to be a moderator.
No, I was a moderator once, and then
you got fired.
That was out. Yeah, I was out.
You just used the C word. Do you know how it used to be? Everything was convergence, and then everything was collaboration. Now everything is conversation.
Well,
what's the next C word that's coming? If you can identify that trend now, we can make money on it. Because now there's like 100 companies, and they all come in, they're like, we are extending the conversation.
So one thing, I tried one thing last night at yet another conference that we speak at, you know, almost every week. And I said, bring the cloud and the crowd together, and you have a whole new platform.
But in Japanese, that already is together. Crowd.
Now, I'm only going to let you get away with that because you speak Japanese and you're married to a Japanese woman, because otherwise...
And I have half-breed Japanese children, and I drive Japanese cars.
Great. This is half-breed.
When you say the word crowd in Japanese, you can't tell which one you're saying.
It's unclear.
So you bring the crowd and the cloud.
Right, with the French accent.
All right, we'll let you finish.
So basically we need the... That's good as it's two C's, but we need the C word that brings those together. Crowd aberration.
Which was essentially the thesis behind one of my latest investments, which was enabled by the crowd, but leveraging the cloud to have a really low cost of operation.
So. And that is called?
Retail technologies. Which
bing,
is
bing, bing, number one. Jeff has pitched retail collaboration. I'm just going to keep track, Jeff. It's good that we
can I mention the 45 I've done in the fund in the past
45,
few years?
45, no, no.
Only the ones that start with C.
You said that you just closed another one yesterday?
Yesterday was another one announced on TechCrunch. It's Next Big Sound.
Next Big Sound.
Next
That's
Big Sound.
Number two.
Which is
Bing, 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 bing.
The Alexa IMDb of music. And I basically said, you know, that will basically be the last deal of the year. And I actually lied because I just committed to yet another deal this morning.
Yes, wait. But will you get it closed in time?
Oh, it will close.
It'll close before the end of the year. Because that's just...
I'm essentially going to close two before the end of the year.
Two more.
Wait, so now we're going to put him on the spot. Two deals he's pitched, Retail Collaboration and Next Big Sound. Which one is a better company?
Yeah, which is the better one?
Which of your children do you favor the most?
For me, that's easy, my older.
Yeah.
He's such a freaking bastard, isn't it?
It would be my daughter, Darrow. I only have one of them, and I have three
boys. I only have one older. Which one would you pick?
Plus, your younger daughter, she's...
Well, I'm not going to pick any of my children because by definition, I've invested in them. And you know how it is, right? You invest in a company, it's all honeymoon, it's all perfect.
Until the first board meeting.
All right.
Great, fantastic, until the first board meeting where you realize that, whoops, I missed that in the due diligence.
Only you told us before we got started here that you liked retail collaboration better.
No, it's not retail. It's retail technologies.
Oh, I'm sorry. Retail technologies. I just made that up anyway. He never said any such thing. Retail technologies, my bad. Wait, Howard, do you think you have one more deal that might close by the end of the year? Is that possible?
It's slated for December
19th. Nice. Whoa. Well,
got to do my deal by the end of the year, my Christmas deal.
You need the Christmas, the Hanukkah deal. Good joke.
So I went to the Sutter Hill Christmas party at the Menlo Country Club last week.
The Circus Club?
Circus Club, that's
it. Circus Club. That's where you're supposed to have your VC party, is at the Circus Club. If you're a real VC, you have it at the Circus Club. You know why? They have polo ponies.
No. This is the one that's on Woodside. Not the one that's way up in Atherton.
Oh, yeah, no. That's not. No, that Circus Club is out in Atherton.
No, this is the one.
Menlo Country Club or whatever. Yeah.
So anyway, for those of you who are not in the VC industry, it's basically Christmas season, so we meet almost every day or every second day at one or two parties organized by, you know, our friends the VCs, either in the Valley or in San Francisco.
Yeah.
So I'm going to check ridiculous. On the name exact. Anyway, the Sutter Hill, you know, I have to go there. It's at the Menlo Country Club.
All right.
On 2300 Woodside Road in Woodside, California. I have to go there, and I like going there. Bill Draper, my prior partner, was the founder of Sutter Hill, so he invites me to this party, and it's kind of a good party, and they have good food and nice wine, and they give you boxes of chocolate when you leave, which is great.
Always.
The same kind of, like, chocolate.
I'm coming next stuff. Year. Only I didn't get an
invite. I'll get you an invite.
Talk to Bill.
Anyway, so I'm talking with a venture capitalist who will be left unnamed. From a very large venture firm. And he says to me after a couple of drinks, "So Howard, you got any deals for me? I haven't done a deal all year, and I got to do something before the end of the year. My partners are going to be pissed at me."
What do you got?
So I just see opportunity for entrepreneurs to go in front of every venture capital Christmas party with a big sign that says, "Haven't done your Christmas deal? Here I am."
I am your Christmas
I am
deal.
So going to tweet that. Hey, need any sort of markup, last minute, whatever, call me.
Well, it's a little bit like companies that have to spend their budget, and so All these enterprise software companies used to do a bunch of deals at the very end. It was like, I gotta use it or lose it, so I gotta, you know, now's the time. And so you could sell a bunch of software, so maybe that's the right thing. You say, what did you say, 40 some odd companies?
45.
You know, 45 companies. Surely one of those would fit the, like, oh, what are you looking for? Oh, you need collaboration, you need cloud, you need music.
No, you should
time
it.
Real time. What do you need? I got one of those, no problem.
The wisdom generally says that you should never, like, be looking for money in December because, you know, it's hard to raise money, it's a Christmas time, then you've got January, and, you know, people will lose momentum that you met before the holidays. But I would take a different tack. Every company should wait to do their financing until December
15th.
Right
after Thanksgiving.
Yeah. That's when you should start, because there's bound to be some VCs out there who haven't done their deal for the year. And they've just, I've got to do a deal.
Get it in under the wire. How much, and you know what? You can't over-negotiate it. Like, seriously?
No time.
I don't have time to keep fighting over these stupid terms. This is the deal. Just, you know, do it.
Get and 100 posts is such a round number.
Well, it's the price of price du jour. First you do 100 posts, and then you do something in the 230 to 280 or whatever.
Then a billion.
And then a billion, right. And then, in theory, something should happen. But we haven't had any of these billion-dollar valuation companies actually then do the next thing, which is, in theory, should be liquidity, right?
Yep.
I mean, we're assuming...
LinkedIn will come.
You know, I was talking with a well-placed source.
Who has provided verified information?
Yeah, right, exactly. And I made a similar assumption. I said, well, you know, it's doing great, and blah, 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 given that, I look forward to seeing that IPO in the coming year. And I heard, I don't see any reason why LinkedIn will be public company this coming year. Like, all right.
Okay.
Never mind then. But, you know, we would like you to be public.
We need LinkedIn on the public market, because it's one of those companies which would be sort of a bellwether for the reopened IPO window.
And a real company. Like, this is the thing. In the late 90s, we all got a bad reputation because allegedly we were taking out shitty companies that didn't have real revenue models and didn't have real revenue and they weren't real businesses. And the reality was that some of that was happening in the late 90s. But from 2000 until now, there are real companies being built with hundreds of millions in revenue and profitable. And LinkedIn's one of those. Mm-hmm. And clearly Facebook is one of those. There are lots of businesses that have real businesses.
The next one to go out will be Skype.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. Skype, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised at all, right?
Yeah.
And company formed in late 2002, sold in 2005, sold again, 2009 go public in early 2010?
Well, one of the biggest exits of the 2000s was Seagate, which we took private. Then, what, a few years later, the company was doing great, and we took it public again, mm-hmm. and it's been a great, strong public company since. And it then has a public currency, and mm-hmm. it can be strong, and, you know, so... We need the. I agree with you. We need the LinkedIns and the.
And we need a few more public acquirers because the list that we have today is kind of getting old.
Yeah, and I'm sick of pitching the same people who actually won't acquire anything. Yeah. Like they're completely incapable of acquiring things. Just,
no. Yeah. Sorry.
Mm-hmm. I'm just coming.
No, seriously. The other day, I was at the airport. It was like 5 a.m. or whatever, and my time, I was in Charlotte on the layover to Toronto, and I see that fake Carol Bartz,
Carol Bartz.
is following me on Twitter, and so I just went like, who? And I went to see the tweets, and it's just freaking excellent. Like, if you have a minute to waste or whatever, and you want to just get a good laugh, you can either go to Shit My Dad Says or Carol Bard, or fake Carol Bard.
So I'm going to translate really for you for a second. Funny. I believe what Mr. Clavier just said is Shit My Dad Says.
Which
That's
is a very
English
popular
translation of the French accent, Shit My Dad Says. Is that correct?
Thank you, David. I appreciate it. And yes.
Hey, don't hit on my partner.
It is hard. I mean, he's a good-looking man, and then he starts using that French, and you're going to have to sit between the two of us.
Yeah, okay, fine. I will show that.
Next topic.
But hey, fake Carol Bartz.
Fake Carol Bartz. I was at the airport on Monday night, sitting waiting to take a red-eye to Boston, and another VC friend of mine goes by on the moving floor, like, waves, hey, how are you doing? Like, where are you going? Oh, taking the red-eye to Chicago. It's pretty sad, actually. If you look on Foursquare,
Was that Kevin?
No, it wasn't. Foursquare or Gowalla, you know, you can see the people who check in at SFO at 11, 10, 11. Everybody hopping on their red eyes. Red eye to Charlotte is really bad. And Chicago, because they're like, what, you sleep for 3.5 hours?
And I was expecting sort of a half empty plane, whatever. It was full.
It
was full. Unbelievable. Who takes a red eye to Charlotte besides me?
Yeah, no.
Well,
one,
plenty
no
of people.
No, who goes to Canada via Charlotte?
Well, the problem.
That's not. You ever heard?
There is
Chicago, relatively close to Charlotte. You know, Boston? I mean, relatively close to Canada.
Look, that was the only flight I could find to get to Toronto at that time. On time to get onto a panel, whatever. So.
What was I talking about? Oh, I was talking about the startup when we
Austin Hill says hi, by the way.
Oh, good. I love that Austin Hill. Talk about, like, you know, hardcore. This guy's been a hardcore entrepreneur since he was, what, 18?
Yep.
It's just, that's
he's a very well-known entrepreneur in Canada.
Yeah, he's the man in Canada.
Absolutely.
Not to say he's not the man here, but I'm just saying, you know, it's a little bit like, actually, so here's the thing. I was just in Boston. I took this red eye to Boston, and I was having a board meeting with the Bain Capital guys have co-invested in this company, Nomus Solutions. It's a price optimization company that we both
ding, 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 ding.
Now, put that on my list. Nomus Solutions. If you need to reprice your loans or your credit cards, give us a ring at Nomus Solutions.
That's 1-800-NOMUS.
I think it's nomussolutions.com. I don't know that we have any. But anyway, the Bain guys have done this awesome thing. It's called Founders Club. And it's basically a party of all these great founders and the Bain guys. In fact, the fact that I was allowed at this party was sort of controversial. No VCs are ever allowed to go to their parties, and they throw these awesome parties. But in Boston, you could identify, oh, these are the great, you know, these were the great entrepreneurs. And in fact, I had hung out with one of these guys at the airport hotel, you know, I was doing drinks before my board meeting. And then I see him at this party. He's like, hey, how's it going? He's like, this is great. These are, you know, you should meet that guy and that guy and that guy. And it's a little bit like that when you fly mm-hmm. to Canada. Oh, here's Austin Hill, and Austin will introduce you to. Oh, they're the 20 guys that are doing the interesting things. But Howard, I thought of you. This party was at the office of this thing called Kiva Systems. And for those of you who are serial listeners, you will know that in a recent podcast, we talked about robots and how Howard loves robots. Well, this company...
Well, that was the last show, right?
Was it the last show? All right, Howard loves robots.
I just bought a robot vacuum cleaner for my garage.
That's like, what, hard, heavy-duty Roomba?
Yeah, it's like heavy-duty Roomba. It's fantastic. See? I have the cleanest garage. My wife is like so annoyed, like, stop vacuuming the garage every day. I can't help it. I love that thing.
You just put it down. Well, how hard are you to stop vacuuming it? Well, you just put the thing down and it zips around. Yeah. Like, how hard is that?
She's like, stop watching the robot vacuum the garage.
No, it's fun. You know, we have three Roombas. We have two Roombas to actually vacuum and one to clean.
What does that mean in French, Roomba?
It's the dance. La Roomba?
No, it's not.
That's what.
Close enough.
All right. So,
all right, back to Kiva.
So, oh, well, and the beauty of that is, like, it can clean under your car.
Oh, it does everything. Right? It's just that's fantastic. Great.
Awesome.
But sometimes it stops, and it could stop under the wheel of your car. Like,
well, that's a problem. Well, that's
you
got to
be careful.
That is an issue. Yeah. So, anyway, so Kiva Systems. Basically, these guys have built these awesome industrial robots that do pack and pick shipping. So
I saw the video on this.
Have you seen it?
Oh, it's fantastic.
It's unbelievable. Yeah. So basically, the traditional model of pack and pick shipping is that the person is at the, like, you know, warehouse for Zappos, and they have this, they need these three pairs of sneakers, and so they march down the aisles until they get them. And so they're walking a ton, and the sneakers may be way separated. This thing brings the sneakers to you. So all of these shelves are sitting on top of a robot, and you put, you know, you say, okay, and you're simultaneously picking for, like, 10 different boxes. You put the 10 different boxes, you say, okay, I'm ready for these things, and all of a sudden the robots start delivering these shelf units, and there's a little light flashing on the next to the thing you need, and you take that thing off the shelf, you press the button, you scan it, and then it flashes over the box it's supposed to go in, and you put it in the box, and then the shelf takes itself away to somewhere.
So now a picker can sit on a stool and listen to his music and his headphones, and boxes just show up at his side, and he just drops the things in, and when he's done, he pushes the red button, and away it goes.
No, absolutely. And I had this interesting conversation with one of the guys. So one of the things that's interesting when you talk about live ops with Maynard Webb,
I'm saving mine for later.
You are, all right, but I thought we were going to lose you soon. Okay, so when you talk to Maynard about LiveOps, one of the things that he appreciates about the company in the same way that he appreciates eBay, where he used to be COO, is that it employs people at home who may not otherwise be mobile. You know, it gives them the opportunity to be employed in ways that they wouldn't have otherwise. Mm-hmm. And I was talking to this guy about the fact that this Kiva job, because it's essentially thing flashes, you take a box, you put it in another box. It's very very simple, but, you know, but it's sort of a game-like experience. You could imagine that folks with Down syndrome or other, you know, who would love to work and could do this job, do a good job of it, be, you know, really productive. They wouldn't get burnt out the same way. I'm guessing you wouldn't get burnt out the same way that people do in this job because the things are just coming to you or whatever. But anyway, that's a total aside. But the thing that's awesome, actually, the thing that I thought was really perhaps the most interesting is they showed this diagram, and maybe where's the video on YouTube?
I saw it on YouTube.
Or is it on Kiva Systems?
Somebody sent it to me, and it was fantastic. No, I think it was actually on TechCrunch a while ago. When Bain did the financing, TechCrunch did an article, and they linked to the video on it.
Well, so they show a simulation of if you have a warehouse full of shelving, and you have, let's say, 10 pickers and packers, and you're doing a bunch of orders, what happens to all of the goods? Because there's no fixed shelf space. It's not like, oh, the running shoes go there. They go wherever they go. And the end result is that the stuff that is frequently bought moves closer to the people who are packing them. The stuff that's not bought very often moves far away from them. And it's just an incredibly efficient model that looks just like the memory model of, you know, how you rewrite memory in a disk drive. So it's really just incredibly cool. So in the world of robot deals, that one's awesome. So we should
visit.
Hello, if you're listening.
If anybody from Kiva's on the other end of the phone,
there is a term sheet on the table.
We would like to have Howard would like to add that to his.
Yes, I would like to just put some numbers on this.
There is
term
some money.
Sheet.
That's the money which is ready to be invested.
Yeah, do you hear the coins clinking? But it was really awesome.
Here's $5 million.
And I will say this.
I raise your $5 million with another million.
$6 million. That's what we do here at VC Land. We sit around counting our millions to give to you. It was a great party. Kiva Systems was awesome. I love those Bain guys. Although I will say, you know, you get to Boston, you go to their offices, they have hardwood. You know, there's a Brooks Brothers box sitting on the guy's desk. I mean, you know, it's just that you're not in Kansas anymore when you're over there. Howard, are you checking your voicemail while we're doing
it's
trying to podcast?
My kid's school. I always check.
Oh yeah, all right. Kid's school. We'll forgive you. Well, then while we lose Howard, Jeff, what mm-hmm. what?
That'd be like 10 seconds.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, you want us to wait for you?
I can't pull it anyway. Bad connection.
Right. That's too bad. What else? It feels pretty frothy for a recession, don't you think? Like,
yeah.
I
completely agree. The you know, when Sequoia published The End of Good Times last October, everyone went, okay, so it's going to be a tough time. We're all in. You know, I'm really an early stage investor.
How many deals have you done this year?
So closed as of right now.
Yes.
16.
How many have you done this year?
Three,
four.
This year I've done three.
And I've done two.
Five
and I've
in
probably
the last 15 months. Three in the last 12.
Which
last
is insane for you.
Months. Yeah, that's nutty. And you've done.
I've done close two, and one more should close this year. So that doesn't sound like a venture recession to me.
No, not at all. And you know,
we gotta get over it. Like, what are we doing? We're just drunk. Punch drunk with money.
So the whole point, yeah, well, there is money. There is definitely a lot of money. But the point
sound
is,
effects.
You know, for a quarter, I would say, you know, Q4 of 08, people sort of step back, you know, cut a little bit in terms of expenses and everything, and actually use that as an excuse to get the bottom performers out of the companies. So whenever someone said, hey, I'm just cutting, you know, 10 to 15%, it was just not cuts. It's just, you know, cleaning up. Q1 was sort of quiet, but Q2 started to see a lot of activity. And since September, there's just been like a ton of interesting deals coming out at the early stage, and all my peers, you know, just investing right, left, and center. Because we at the early stage,
and your
you know,
so your
my peers,
peers
are First Round
the
Capital and Mike Maples and True Ventures, and you know, Ron Conway, and Ron has done like 20 deals in 3 months or something.
20 deals in 3 months.
Yeah, ever since he separated from Baseline, he's closed anywhere from 20 to 25 deals.
Wow, we're slackers.
Yeah, well, you know, he's wrong. And Ron can actually do that because it's just his own money and he does whatever the hell he wants. But the point is that, you know, it felt that for recession, there was a ton of activity at the early stage. Move to Series A. So when we have invested in a company and help, you know, grow it for 18 months, it's time, you know, it's sort of time to figure out whether there's someone else out there in the market, you guys or, you know, your peers, who will invest in those companies. And what I've seen is a ton of activity, a ton of interest, and each of the companies which have raised over the past 3 months got multiple term sheets and competitive bidding. And competitive bidding means that you get higher prices and we get into very nice multiples on our investment. So very happy. And, you know, M&A is back. You know, we've seen billions of dollars of exits closing in the past 3 months.
Yeah, like that AdMob deal.
Yeah, well, AdMob, you know.
That was a good one.
Playfish?
Yep.
You
another,
know,
another good one.
Mint, which looks like a small deal at the end. You know,
yeah, right. You did Mint, right? You're
I was an early
stage. Ding, 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 ding.
I was an early, early angel in Mint. Yeah.
So you did Mint and I did PayCycle, and both of those were sold to Intuit for the same $170 million.
Yep.
And
we tried to get $175, we couldn't. Buggers. Yeah,
good, they better not. That would have really made us angry.
Good deal.
Nicely done. Nicely done. It feels like things are better, but you made an interesting comment. You said like the deals that are getting Series A deals done, the companies that get Series A deals done get multiple term sheets.
Yep.
But there, my sense is that it's sort of bifurcated, and there are those companies that are going to get funded, and when they do, it's very rarely like one firm says, oh, I believe in this. When you're going to get funded, it's an interesting company and there are a number of people who are interested or whatever else, and then there are some where it's like,
I would actually disagree with that statement in the sense that there
you're
is
not allowed to disagree on the David Hornick show.
Of course, I'm French.
It's the French exception to the don't disagree with Hornick rule.
Exactly. So, you know, two cases in point, Eventbrite and Outright. Mm-hmm. So, ding, 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 ding,
ding, ding, ding,
and Outright.
And Eventbrite Outright. And Outright.
So if you can go up with a company called That's Right, we're certainly going to fund it.
And so, Eventbrite, a fantastic company, built, you know, it's a ticket processor, and they are now powering the ticket management for most of the conferences and events related to, you know, all industries, essentially. They're Well, I can't say how much money they will make this year, but it's a lot of money.
But they're doing
and well. But they're doing really, really well. And so we had like four term sheets lined up, and Sequoia ended up getting the deal. So I'm really thrilled to have a roll-off.
And they paid
the
up. They had a big. It was a big fight.
I will not comment on that.
Just,
but
from what we hear here on Sand Hill Road, every so often there's a brawl. You know, it's like a cat, you hear the noise. Oh, there's a cat fight going on, and then out of curiosity, you have to go check it out. And from what I hear, they, you know, not it was Sequoia wasn't able to muscle there. Like, well, we're just Sequoia. We'll pay less in this instance. They had to pay up, didn't they?
I will not comment on that one. But let's say that we're
good for
really
the entrepreneurs.
Thrilled.
Yes, it
we're
is
really
good
thrilled.
For entrepreneurs. It's a great outcome. And Ruloff's a great guy. I mean, the nice thing in that instance is that you get a great board member from a great firm and a great price, and you know, in a great company. You know what? That all adds up to great.
And so, you know,
now
super great.
It's a great exit. It's a
great
product.
Really
it's a great team.
Well, it's a great team. It's a great product. It's a great service. It's a great potential.
Yeah.
And I'm really...
Great market.
And I don't want to hear the word exit for another, you know, 3-5 years.
Exit.
Don't!
No. And I would try...
I'm
going to
fund a company called Exit.
I'll
put money at an exit.
So whoever gets exit.com gets ready for the auction. It's going to be a good one. And so Outright was exactly the same thing. Outright, interestingly, is to QuickBooks what Mint was to Quicken. And so when the Intuit exit happened, we had a lot of friends in the industry who said, oh, you know, I missed on Mint and I should have done Mint and so on and so forth. And then...
Good, now you can do this one.
And then, you know... The Mint syndicate funded Outright. And so we said, you know, you have your redemption opportunity, there's Outright.
So historically, though, when you do really well on a deal and you in an area, in a market, and then you like make some money and then you go, I like that market, and then you do another one, historically, it doesn't go so good.
So
it's
we,
sort of like...
We funded Outright a bunch, you know, like
beforehand.
And so same thing, you know, 4 or 5 term sheets, and we ended up with Sequoia as well.
Oh, is that right?
So
you're just Sequoia's bitch?
No. I really saw Sequoia on Eventbrite, and so I think it was a perfect match. I just didn't see Sequoia on Outright, and they just fought tooth and nail to just get it.
So I've looked up exit.com. It is a GPS clock. I'm always looking for better and more precise timing solutions. While the GPS Clock 200 is very good at its price performance point, there are certainly more precise GPS timing receivers out there. So far, though, they haven't been any that came to the integrated package of GPS Clock 200.
Too many words, but...
Exit.com. That's just not
great
what I
stock ticker, too.
Exit.
Yeah. And so the point is that
those were both great
companies,
so
lot of momentum. And then there is another category where, you know, the company is sort of interesting, but not interesting to the overall market.
Yeah.
And then there is like a couple of funds that say, hey, you know, I will just do this. And typically you don't get the
Christmas deal.
The price.
Yeah, right.
You don't get
this
the price,
the
you know,
Christmas
elasticity.
Deal.
They're making money, they got revenue, Christmas deal.
No, look, I actually don't think that there's a huge price differentiation between super competitive and a deal that one VC wants to do, because at the end of the day, there's a difference, but is there a massive difference?
Well, at Series A, no, I think that it's a Series B that you start seeing sort of the real shift.
B and
but,
C, they
but
start.
You will essentially in the multiples to you as the early investor, you will definitely see a, you know, maybe where I'm the only one who sees a potential, you know, you're going to see a 1.5 to 2x multiple, maybe.
Yeah.
Whereas I really want this deal, like you're going to see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5x.
So what I saw recently was a deal where it was very hot and contested, and there was a group of very big name investors like NEAs and Kleiners and such putting out term sheets, and they put out, from what I hear, kind of roughly $5 million valuation, and there was three other firms that I wasn't familiar with that weren't big names but good guys, and they all put out term sheets like 13, 14, 15 million valuation. So there was this bifurcation in pricing between the two types of firms, and ultimately what the entrepreneur did, I don't know. I haven't found out yet, but it was interesting to see how...
Well, that's anticlimactic. I mean, you know, what's the moral of the story?
The moral of the story is pick the guy you want to work with the most.
Yeah, I agree with. Yeah,
so whether the price is high or low, you should pick the guy you want to work with the most, and if you don't like the price, it's low, try and talk it up, but...
Yeah, I think there's...
You got to be married to that guy for the next few years.
Yeah, and there's always a good question, which is, what's the premium that you're ready to pay as a discount to get, you know, a premium brand? And you guys sort of mentioned that in one of your previous shows. And I think that within reason, yes, you will accept lower valuation for someone who can really sort of help you out and so on and so forth. But it's the partner.
Yeah, I mean, think when you're, you know, you're a young man and you want to get married, you know, what do you go to? What are the trade-offs? You know, she's got a lot of family money, but she's got a really nasty laugh.
Howard, I just don't think you should discuss your wife this way. I mean, I just...
Yeah,
it's the opposite. No family money, but a beautiful laugh.
Yes, I am right. So going to take the fifth on this one.
One of the things we were talking about before we started, before we actually started recording this conversation, was that there are a bunch of companies where we've funded them, and then suddenly there appear new companies. So like this yeah. Oh, Mint sold, and so now there's this hot space, and then people all appear. And
I got four Mint-like business plans since Mint existed. It's like, okay, so you made a bunch of money on Mint, so here's the new one. Here's the next-gen Mint.
Would you like to do
Double
Mint?
Double down.
And you're like, what? I did Mint.
No, yeah. This is Minty.
Minty fresh. But we've noticed this because Howard funded Swoopo, and then also,
and I don't get a ding because I didn't mention it.
Oh, I'll
you're ding 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 ding.
We funded Swoopo in March, and we got a lot of press, and then a bunch of entrepreneurs started looking. You know, oh, that looks kind of interesting, and analyzing the model.
Well, and because it was making money, right?
Yeah,
it was a cash flow positive business, and it was
and a bunch
growing.
Of guys start analyzing
in Germany for fucks. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, we're not going to launch it in French. Bunch of entrepreneurs looked at some smart guys. They analyzed it up and down and left and right. And the next thing you know, I'm hearing from some very big venture firms. Oh, we're going to fund this competitor to Swoopo. We think the market's big enough. It's going to be, you know, we figured it out. We're going to, you know, there's some problems with your model, and we figured out a big difference for them. And they funded it, and they launched a site, and it came out, and it was pretty much a knockoff, and with a small tweak that Swoopo had tried before, which really wasn't that significant. Frankly, I was a little disappointed. I was hoping they would come up with more innovation, because if they did, we would just copy it.
You can't say that.
You would
enjoy it. That's an interesting model.
But the reality is, Swoopo has been in business for years and has tried a lot of these things before, and so we're hoping people come up with some new things that make it better. But the reality was, it wasn't that different and impressive. I mean, it's going to be a nice business, but I guess the topic in, do you fund companies which are me toos of somebody else that's already doing something? And that's just something that doesn't personally interest me all that much.
No.
I would rather bet on like the leaders or the innovators or the guys who really have come up with something new and original than somebody who looked at somebody else's deal and kind of...
What's interesting with Swoopo is that it started in Germany. And
it was under the radar of everything.
It's very rare to see German innovation. Typically, you would see the German knockoffs, right?
So you have the history of the web has been
you
the
have
Germans
you know
make
the
their
leader.
Own version
exactly.
of all these things, right?
Yeah.
And the funding model for the angels in Germany is you just fund 20 of those with 25,000 euros, and you get 10% of the company for that. And nine out of ten die, and one of them is Studivision, which is a knockoff of Facebook, and basically you make all the money on that. And here we have Swoopo, the German company, which is innovating. And I think that their thought process was Swoopo wasn't really launched in the US or wasn't in the US or whatever. And so they could do an actual US leader in doing so. What was interesting to me is that since the Swoopo's launch, I've seen maybe one of those Swoopo-like business plans every 3 weeks. The last one was 2 days ago, which was Penny something.
And what they're going to learn is it's a nice business, but it's really a hard business to get to scale.
It's metrics driven.
It's really
hard. But have you seen the day that competitor launched on TechCrunch? Another company from Australia did the homepage takeover, and therefore you had the article about the competitor of Swoopo, and there was like this other competitor advertising their services.
On TechCrunch,
and they were sort of essentially saying, "Hey, we've been in business too, whatever," and they did that on a completely bootstrap basis.
So we're in Asia now. TechCrunch launched Korea this week.
It's kind of fun to see the Korean site. I was looking at it, and it's got some little Korean elements, that make it look and feel a bit. I mean, it's
like
the same essential structure, but the cute little Korean widgety guy that's walking around and all that stuff. So that was kind of fun. But this happens all the time, like. How many of these buyer club things have come out since? What was the phrase?
Vin Privé.
Vin Privé. Yeah.
Vin Privé.
The only original concept to come out of France.
Yeah. Is that true?
No.
Yeah, harsh. All right. I'm getting the big signal from Howard that he has to run away. He's got more important things to do than stay here and talk with us. All right. Well, but we appreciate it.
Yeah, because Howard, David was 30 minutes late,
yes,
just for the
this
record.
This is my fault.
Bye, guys.
Wait, Howard, do you want to suck up to anyone before you go, since we have this, sucking up section of our program now?
I don't have a good suck up this week.
You don't?
No.
Are we going to work on it over the holidays?
Then don't suck up.
I'll give my suck up to Jeff.
All right. You see,
I never suck up to anyone.
To Jeff. All right. Well, thanks for joining us, Howard.
Good to see you, Howard.
Thanks.
So don privé,
vente privé. Which is rumored to be acquired by Amazon.
Oh, is that true?
Yeah, there was like it's a massive business. And
what's the U.S. the leading U.S. one is Guild Group, which was started by
Kevin
Ryan, who was the founder of
DoubleClick.
So that's sort of an amazing, because they're so unrelated, these businesses, and yet killer businesses. And then you have all sorts of other copycats of those. And same thing with Bitly, right? You're a Bitly guy.
Yeah, we have some investor in Bitly. And we've
seen... Are we going to count that as one of yours or
of
not?
Course.
I mean, I started it, but...
It is.
All right. Bing, 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 bing. Okay.
And so Bitly, so TinyURL was the first URL shortener way back when. And the concept really was that TinyURL was just a shortener, and that's it. There was no statistics, there was no analytics, there was nothing, just the shortening. And John Borthwick at Betaworks said, well, we need just something better than that. And that's how the concept of Bitly, which is, okay, there's the shortening part, but then there is the tracking and the analytics and everything that makes Bitly interesting, And we launched that, we fund that, and then suddenly we have like 10 URL shorteners trying to just grab a bit of the shortening market, primarily thanks to Twitter, or because
of
Twitter.
Who knew there was a shortening market? But
well, there is a shortening when you have 140 characters.
You really need a shortening market.
But that's really sort of the initial driver, initial hook. But what you discover is that you can really track the dispersion of your content thanks to a Bitly wrapper, and that's really what's valuable. You can see how quickly the content gets disseminated. And so now, we see a bunch of people using Bitly, and there's a ton of announcements sort of coming through in the next few weeks as to who's going to adopt this thing, which don't have this sort of, okay, well, I only have 140 characters, there's no restriction, they have like plenty of space, but they want to use Bitly.
Yeah.
And we just killed everyone else.
Well, I would say, StumbleUpon launched Super, SU.PR, which is a shortener, but it's again a different twist on the thing, which is ultimately it plugs it into the StumbleUpon service and allows you. But they're related things. It has statistics and it has that stuff. And so the interesting thing is that the folks who are innovating on it, they create real value for the customer, and the copycats sort of do you just create a shortener and we'll let you create your own URL or whatever.
Yep.
So, but I've shamelessly included StumbleUpon in my list of companies. So,
which is a great company.
Thank you very much.
And it's rare when you have the opportunity to get in a company, sell it, buy it back, and burn it again. That's always something which amuses me.
No, it's great, right? This is it took a long. It was a long round trip for Dave Marquardt, my partner Dave, with Seagate. But he funded Seagate, and then 25 years later, took it private. Yeah, he was the first investor in Seagate. Yeah, Dave was
the first
investor. So that was quite a talk about a round trip there.
Yeah, Narendra Roshwal is a good friend of ours, and so Narendra sold WebShots, and then bought it back a few years later, and then sold it again, and he's done now.
That's really good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Asked him whether he would go at the third round, but he said,
WebShots. I'm gonna move on to a new business. I know I'm heading off to Paris.
Mm-hmm.
I assume you are as well. I don't have the accent.
I am off to Paris, not Texas, the French one, on Monday. it's gonna be the Paris Le Web Shuttle.
Air France on Monday.
It's AF 83 or 84. I never remember which one it is. leaving at 3 p.m., arriving at 11 a.m., and it's going to be like a bunch of the speakers and attendees on that flight. So it will be one of those flights where you actually know half of the plane and you're really happy with it.
If I had known, I would have taken that flight. I'm flying out Saturday, and I'm doing. And the problem is, stupid frequent flyer miles. I'm going United, and United of course does not fly direct.
So you fly through London,
Or Munich. So I'm flying through Munich. So you fly to Munich
and then come
switch
back.
Switch planes, mm-hmm. come back. But it's a fine flight. It's a, yeah. They've gotten much better. It's much less painful. Particularly.
So you're taking the kids with you, or
no? Just my wife and I are flying over. But here's my. I gotta say, we're going to Paris. Here's my rant. No. One of the things that's amazing about Paris, of course, is that the art is just stunning. Like, there's just no place on the planet as amazing as Paris when it comes to art. So what is happening right now? There is a strike. The art museum workers are on strike, and they're
welcome to Paris.
It's unbelievable. And so I've been reading these blogs talking about, like, well, sometimes the strikes gain force and sometimes they lose. If they lose momentum, it'll be over quickly, but if it starts to gain momentum, then other people will strike in support. So, you know, you may not be able to get a taxi cab from the airport because the cab drivers may strike along with the museum workers.
I'm shaking my head.
Ugh. Yeah. So anyway, I'm sure it'll get resolved.
Don't look at me to defend those fuckers.
I was a little, now, of course, I'm just going there for business, so it doesn't matter that the Musée d'Orsay is closed, but...
Yeah, well, that's such a pity, because the Musée d'Orsay is so beautiful. I mean, that's one of my favorite museums right. in Paris.
Incredible.
But no, it's one of those things which drives me nuts as a Frenchman, and that's why I often sort of picture myself as the French who hates the French. I don't hate the French per se, but I hate the French mentality and all those strikes and, things.
It's challenging, right? I mean, can you imagine trying to build businesses here with that kind of, instability?
No.
No.
That's why, that's sort of the situation that French entrepreneurs who are trying to build real businesses have to face, because obviously you don't have those issues in startups, right? But you live within an environment where, suddenly you have unpredictable sort of events like that, where the RATP, so the people who drive the metro, sort of go on strike, and suddenly your guys just can't get to the office, so it takes like 2 or 3 hours. And it's just like, it just can't happen. You just can't fathom that as someone living in the U.S. It's just impossible.
And these infrastructure things matter, right? Like, we often talk about the outsourcing mm-hmm. of development, etc., to places that have less stable infrastructure. And for a period of time, it was unclear, connectivity and power and those sorts of things in India and other places. Still, there are certain unpredictable elements of China and sort of this interchange between China. Mm-hmm. And so what you really need is true stability and predictability if you want to have this commerce go back and forth and be able to develop at the same pace and all those things. So it's just been, it's very interesting to watch. It's interesting to watch, of course, Paris, but it's more interesting from where we sit to say, what's happening in India? Is there enough predictability about power and connectivity and workforce and all that?
And stability of government and so on, which becomes, a holistic issue. And I remember a couple of years ago, or 5 years ago maybe, I was at this meeting of Invest in France, which is sort of the agency which is trying to promote France as the place for U.S. companies to go to when they establish a headquarter, in Europe. And there were all those sort of high-powered CEOs of tech companies and, saying, hey, this, that, and the other. And that gentleman sort of raises his hand and says, so how can you waive strikes in 35-hour week to my company if I move to France? Oh, but monsieur, we can't. Okay, I'll move
exactly.
to Ireland.
Right, exactly.
And Ireland has just been capturing a ton of that because, they speak English with a strange accent, but speak English.
It's just a
lower cost labor and a very high quality labor. And so that's why, Ireland has been doing really, really well in that environment.
But what's interesting is that I've noticed a trend towards lots of outsourcing these days to South America,
mm-hmm.
to different countries.
Argentina. Yeah.
And again, there's this challenge. One is a language challenge, although by and large, mm-hmm. the world does speak dual languages, their own and English, and so that tends to help. That may be shifting. Chinese in your language, but anyway.
My daughter, who's turning 9, is doing sort of a program where she learns Chinese a couple of hours a week at her age.
Wow,
and then
that's awesome.
She'll have It's very tough, actually. It's very, very challenging. It's
those are bad. My son's taking Japanese, and if Japanese is hard, and it is terribly hard, Chinese is yet another order of magnitude.
But the concept of, hey, you know, let's have English, Spanish, Chinese, you know, will at some point become the curriculum, as opposed to us. You know, I learned in my times, I hope it's over now, you had to learn German first, then English, then Latin, you know, to have the best teachers in science. So if you're not taking German as a first language, which is pretty useless now, right, to me, you would not get the best teachers in physics and math. And so we all did, you know, an entire generation did German, English, and Latin, you know, to get the best teachers to science.
That's wacky. So I don't think we said the reason we're going to Paris is for the Le Web.
For Le Web, which is sort of the biggest and brightest, you know, European conference around Le Web, new technology, and so on and so forth. It's been around for 6 years. You and I, you were at Les Blogs, the first one?
Yeah, absolutely.
So we've been there for 6 years, right? So Les Blogs 2, then Le Web, and now we have Le Web 09, which is going to have, it's going to be the biggest to date. As of this morning, 2,050 people have registered. 2,050.
And I hope we have heat.
I hope what?
Last year we had no heat.
Yeah, we had no heat and no Wi-Fi. And that wasn't.
I can live without the Wi-Fi because you know what? It's hard to get Wi-Fi for 2,000 people. But on the other hand, heat just seems like that one. Like, how hard is it to have heat?
Well, the whole thing just, they had, so the place where the web is organized by our good friends, Géraldine and Loïc Lemaire, had just, you know, launched.
It just opened.
So and
is it going to be back at that same place?
Yeah.
Okay, well, so they should have heat by now.
They will have heat. And hopefully Wi-Fi.
And look, I totally feel for Géraldine and Loïc because, you know, as a conference organizer, there are a million things that can go wrong. Like this year at my conference, there was so much wind at one venue that I had to move, that like in 2 hours had to move an entire event and dinner.
Really?
Whatever, from,
you the know, outs- from the outside dinner?
Yeah.
Oh,
had
God.
To be moved because there was like so much wind and sand. And it was just terrible. So, I mean, I certainly understand that like there are problems. So it'll be nice that they've had a year at this facility to work out the kinks.
So hopefully they will work out the kinks. And, you know, it's a very ambitious program. We're going to have Her Majesty Queen Rania, you know, so we're going to have a queen in, you know, we had Sarkozy 2 years ago, now we're going to have a queen.
Not just a drama queen, but a real queen,
the Queen of Jordan, to come and be interviewed, and so I sort of look forward to that, and we have a great program. The issue is that there are so many speakers that, you know, I'm going to be leading the panel on mobile applications, so iPhone, Android, and so on and so forth. I have great speakers, 6 of them.
Yeah, but they're too many.
And I have 40 minutes. And I'm going to be like, you know, if ever someone speaks for more than 30 seconds, I'm going to go, done. Kill sign. But it's going to be great. There's like everyone and his mother in Europe is coming. There's a ton of us from the Silicon Valley actually moving.
Well, this is what the week has figured out, right?
Yeah.
Which is absolutely right. Get the core group of people who are, you know, who are thinking about this stuff in the Bay Area and convince them to go to Paris, mm-hmm. and talk about and address these questions in Paris. The end result is that all the Europeans then come with the most interesting things that are happening in Europe, which then drives everybody else to say, oh, well, okay, this is a gathering now of all the interesting stuff that's happening in Europe, and the folks are coming from the Bay Area, etc.
And I get, you know, a bunch of my friends from Sand Hill saying, dude, this web thing, you looking like interesting, big should I come? I say, yeah, if ever you go to Europe once.
Yeah, if you're going to go.
To just check out, you know, the ecosystem and companies or whatever, just go. So, you know. There's still time. There's still some tickets. You know, I'm not sure when.
When's it start? Wednesday?
It starts, Wednesday. We have the speakers dinner on Tuesday.
Yeah, so it's actually technically on Tuesday or Wednesday. I think it starts Thursday.
No, we have Wednesday night,
we have a speakers dinner.
No, our speakers dinner is on Tuesday, and then the program is Wednesday and Thursday.
All right. Well, that'll be good.
So if you're in Paris and listen to this, come and say hi.
Yep, absolutely. All right. I think you people have probably had enough of us, frankly. Don't you think? But here's your chance. Again, we've instituted this important part of the program where, in conclusion, we suck up to someone, our favorite person. And
okay, so suck up to someone so I can think about someone.
All right,
suck up
you have to think. Well, I want to say, but first of all, I'll suck up first. So, So I was.
So David is rolling on his coach here.
Yeah, exactly. No, I was on this. I was at this board meeting in Boston for this company, Noma Solutions. I was telling about, and I was talking about this, talking with the CEO, who's a guy named Frank Rohde, about VentureCast, because he actually listens to VentureCast when he's out running, and he was talking about.
So there's two of us.
How he can, yeah. So he's right there, two people listening. So he was saying that he could, that he associated certain, you know, arbitrary things I said with, oh, I was running on the Rhine, or I was such and such. But anyway, so the person I want to suck up to is Frank this time, because so this is a company that's doing price optimization for banks. This is like, how can you, you know, I mean, just this, the unbelievable pain that he's had to deal with coming into this year, where the entire financial services sector collapsed.
Meltdown.
And yet he's providing real, this software that provides real manageable, trackable value, right? Which is, you're making 200 more basis points on your loans over billions of dollars, whatever. So he's been pounding his head against the wall, and he's had a great year, just, you know, working hard to convince financial services that if they want to survive in this economy in the future, they need to understand pricing as much as risk. And so A, I want to suck up to Frank for listening to VentureCast, so thank you for listening. But B, for just like doing such a great job in a brutally tough economy. I mean, that's the difference between a great entrepreneur and a good entrepreneur. A great entrepreneur says, yeah, this is a tough, tough environment, but it motivates me to just keep going and crush it. And when it's a good environment, he's just going to soar. So that's all. So I'm sucking up to Frank Rohde, the CEO of Noma Solutions. I thank you.
And I salute you. And I think that these kinds of entrepreneurs will actually do even better in tough environments, because that's when there's no competition. They will just like see the opportunity and shoot for it.
And run, yeah, just kill it. So
so it sounds like you have a winner in the making.
Well, I hope so, you know.
So who am I going to... Oh. I didn't know I had to suck up to someone.
You don't
which,
have to
which,
suck. I mean,
which,
not,
which I hate doing.
I know, if you don't want
you know me.
I mean, I love
but
sucking up to everyone. I'll suck up to you, Jeff. You're the man.
You're
You've
next
been
lawyer.
The man for a long time.
Sorry, I'm going to be in trouble now.
I'm trained in sucking up.
That's so unfair of mine, but I just can't help myself. No, I think that the guy I have a ton of respect for, the early stage world is an ecosystem where there's maybe 6 to 10 firms or individuals who do most of the deals. And so for me, it's a distributed partnership. And we make our own decisions independently, but we work together and share, you know, due diligence and so on and so forth. And we always try to assemble syndicates in a way that will satisfy everyone's interests, if we can.
If you can, if possible.
And you know, there's First Round Capital, there's True Ventures, there's Mike Maples Investments, there's Ron Conway, and so on and so forth. But the one I would suck up to, just as a sign of being impressed by his recent investment, is Mike Maples, who's not only a very, very smart guy, is very, very nice, but if you look at the portfolio he's built, you know, between being involved in Twitter and Chegg and a bunch of really interesting companies, we have like 5 in common, which I won't mention because I'm already six.
Six. You want to add a seventh. I mean,
I've really been impressed by his ability to pick deals which are not obvious, work with them, and turn them into something which will contribute to turning them into really something interesting. So, Mike, well done.
Yeah. No, and you said something in there that I'd like to re-emphasize, which is, you said Andy's a nice guy, and he is like the consummate, this is not the go for the jugular.
Yeah.
I mean, Mike is a believer in, you work hard, you work with great people, you're a nice and supportive guy, and things work out great, and for him it will, and he's done a fantastic job. So that...
Anyway,
so we suck up to you, Mike Maples. We
have to make sure that you listen to this.
All right. So, yeah, exactly. Well, someone will say, "Hey, Maples, did you hear Clavier and Hornick were sucking up to you?" And what are you talking about? You'll have to listen to 52 minutes of VentureCast to get to it. Bummer for you. All right. In closing, I just want to summarize that, Mr. Clavier. So, thank you, Jeff Clavier, for joining us as always.
My pleasure, David.
Our one and only guest. But maybe we should do that. Maybe we should have guests because, you know, Howard and I are kind of boring over time.
No, you're not boring. I really enjoy your shows, but I think that it just adds, especially if you have a funny accent, you know, it just adds diversity.
All right, so I'm going to find someone with another good accent. So just in closing, I want to summarize that Jeff Clavier of Softech VC has pitched for us today Retail Technologies, Next Big Sound, Mint, Eventbrite, Outright, and Bitly. Those were the six companies that he mentioned. He has another 30-some-odd more.
So Mint was in my first personal portfolio, in which there was 24, and the other five are in the fund portfolio, was there is, as of today, 45.
45.
Two more coming.
Very nice. Well, we look forward to hearing about the other two. And we wish all of you a very happy holidays. You venture investors who are listening, we hope you find an excellent Christmas deal to get done at the last minute, your Hanukkah deal. Right?
And remember, there's always some for you in my portfolio, yeah, so call me.
Just give the email Jeff at SoftTechVC, and he'd be happy to let you choose among a panoply of excellent deals. Thanks for listening.
Goodbye.